The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It is time to get up with a Football Friday, folks. The Cowboys got some bad news yesterday. Will it mean they break your heart against San Francisco? Meanwhile, 7 is heaven, but 8 would be great. We'll tell you the biggest thing standing in Tampa Tom's way. Plus, dress warm if you're shuffling off to Buffalo. Who comes out of the cold Saturday night with a shot at the Super Bowl? Those are the questions. We've got all the answers on this Football Friday edition of Get Up, which starts right now. Ready to roll. Graziano's got the insight on his way to Cincinnati. Ninkovich is not headed to Buffalo. Wait till you hear why. RC has gotten up with us early this morning and ready to go. Sam Acho's got all the insight. It's a playoff weekend, the biggest of all time, and let's get right to it. We'll begin with Tom Brady. Of course, his chase for 8 rings begins Sunday against the Eagles, who enter the game with the top rushing offense in the NFL. They're averaging nearly 160 yards per game on the ground. They will go up against a Tampa defense that is generally known for its rush D, but they've allowed 5 yards per carry the last 2 weeks of the season against the Jets and the Panthers. Could be a sneaky, interesting matchup there. And of course, there's Brady, threw for over 5,300 yards and 43 touchdowns to lead the league this year. Here is Tampa Tom on that Eagles D.
They make you earn everything. You know, you make a mistake, you get a penalty, you're going to punt. You know, the ball gets batted up in the air, they're going to intercept it. You hold on the ball too long, they're going to strip sack it. So it's a team that just doesn't let you off the hook.
All right. So, look, I mean, Brady obviously has his sights set beyond just winning this game. But in the playoffs, you don't look past any one game. And the guys sitting on this set know that extremely well, including you, Ryan Clark. You know, we had a little number in here that the Eagles can run the ball. If you run the ball to the outside against Tampa, you can do it. Any chance the Eagles make this thing a little scarier for Tom than most people are expecting on Sunday?
I think this thing is scary. It's not any chance that they make this thing a little scary. I think this is going to be a very hard-fought game. Once Nick Sirianni understood who the Philadelphia Eagles were from an offensive standpoint, this team has taken off. Once they decided that the zone read run game would be a huge part of what they do, once they understood the physicality of their offensive line and also the athleticism that that offensive line possesses, and a lot of teams decided to not try and run the football against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but the teams that understood the way to attack them, and especially without Lavonte David late in the season, teams have had success. So I expect the Philadelphia Eagles to have a good game plan, to understand how they need to come out and kind of control the clock, keep the ball away from Tom Brady, and they can make this game scary, but I expect Tom Brady to make plays at the end.
You know, and Nico, you were saying something in our meeting actually related to a different game, but I think it applies here. Sometimes when the world doesn't give you any chance in a playoff situation, you play a little loose, you never know what might happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's scary for the other team. If you have everyone's picking you to win, it can be scary for you because you have another team coming in, you don't know what they can just come in and just say, listen, we got nothing to lose. Let's go out here and just have fun. It's like we were back in the kids in high school. Let's go have fun and just play. But, you know, I would say in this game, I don't think the Eagles are going to win. I don't think they have a chance. I really don't. And, you know, how do you beat a running team? You score fast. You score early. You make it a shootout. And Tampa can make it a shootout. Tom, if you keep them upright, you give them protection, you give them time, they have the pieces there with Gronk. You know, he's going to be a go-to guy. They're going to score points. So if you're the Eagles, you're going to have to score a lot of points. And you can't score a ton of points just handing the ball off. So they're going to have to throw the football. So I'm going with Tampa. I think that this isn't going to be a big game at all.
There it is on your screen. Eagles have no chance to win this
right
game.
There, yeah.
You know what you are, Dan Graziano? we sometimes say that you're like the voice of reason, which means you always take away all our fun in the offseason.
No, that's not nice.
But you said it all offseason that the reason teams don't repeat is because it takes a lot of luck. Yeah. Last year, Brady went in at this point ridiculously healthy. Where are they right now relative to that?
Well, they're healthier than they were the last couple of weeks. I mean, you mentioned Lavonte David, or RC did. Like, I think he's coming back for this game. Shaq Barrett. like Jason Pierre-Paul. Leonard Fournette, who's a significant part of their offense, seems like he's going to be back for this game. So I think what's interesting about the Eagles as it pertains to the Bucs, that number one run team in the league, the 160 yards, that all started after they played the Bucs. Like, the Buccaneers' tape on the Eagles' offense from when they played them is useless to them. They're a completely different team. So that has to be factored in. But that said, I mean, the Eagles are 0-6 against teams in this playoff field. I just don't feel like they're teams of similar caliber.
Fair enough. And so, Sacho, let me start this different sort of line of questioning with you, which is, if you're Tom Brady and you're looking to make this 8 championships, you're thinking, I'm not saying you're thinking beyond Sunday, but Sunday does not make your season a success. Give me the X factor. Give me the guy that, if the Buccaneers make the Super Bowl, and we're, during those 2 weeks, we're looking back and we're saying this one player was the key to helping Tom get there, who will that player be?
Well, the player has to be, I would say, Scotty Miller. And the reason why I would say Scotty Miller, the wide receiver, is that so many people are down in the receiving corps when it comes to Tampa Bay. Chris Godwin, the guy who would eat up the middle of the field, he's gone. You see that Antonio Brown is gone. I get it. Scotty Miller is not necessarily a slot receiver who's going to be doing things in the middle of the field, but he is a big-time play maker. Last year, Green Bay, we all remember that huge play that he made to help Tampa Bay win that game. And so for me, Scotty Miller would be that guy. Him, maybe you could also add in Brashad Perriman, another receiver who will step up. Tom Brady's offense is elite, but the middle of the field right now without Chris Godwin is now wide open.
Let's get some more quick. RC, who's the guy? Who's the guy we'll be saying was the reason Brady is back in the bowl?
I can't believe Sam Acho overthought this. It's about Rob Gronkowski. He just talked about the middle of the field being wide open. Who is better and who has been better throughout history than Rob Gronkowski in the middle of the field? Who is Tom Brady more comfortable with than Rob Gronkowski? And when we look at some of the runs that this team has made early on this season, you think about the playoffs last year, that's when Rob Gronkowski seemed to round into form and make huge plays for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we all know Tom Brady is as much about understanding the people he's throwing to and being comfortable with him as he is about the matchup, and he's thrown more passes, more touchdowns to Rob Gronkowski than anyone else.
X factor. I'm going to keep going until I get the answer I want. Who is it?
I'm changing the rules. And I'm not going with one guy. I'm going with five guys. I'm going with the offensive line. So if the offensive line can keep Tom upright, give him time to throw, and he can evaluate the field, they're going to be
still
good.
Don't have the answer I want.
Leonard Fournette.
Thank you. That's the answer I want. It's Leonard Fournette was the best player on that offense. What do you got?
I mean, the whole offense started clicking once they started throwing to him out of the backfield. I think he's a bigger part of this than people realize.
If the guys in front of him don't block, it don't matter.
Okay, fair enough. So Nico gets the final word. In the meantime, we have 6 huge games. Again, it's the biggest playoff weekend in the history of the sport, and they're all anticipated, but the most of them all is probably Sunday afternoon. Niners, Cowboys. The Dallas quarterback is Dak Prescott, and he talked this week about those who think, as everyone seems to say, that San Francisco is a bad matchup for his Dallas Cowboys.
We don't care what people believe about us outside of these walls, whether they think it's good or not. We're excited for the matchup. Obviously, it's a playoff opponent. You've got to respect them and what they've done. It's going to be a dogfight. It's going to be a war, and we're exactly up for that.
Vegas sees this as the closest game of the weekend. Meantime, Graz, I said in the open, the Cowboys got some bad news yesterday. What was it?
Oh, you're talking about Trent Williams
for the
49ers coming back from his elbow injury, which it sounds like he intends to do. He's been out there on the practice field, missed last week's game, which was not a rest day, that they had to win that game. But I think it sounds like he's going to come back and play in this game. He may be the best player on their team.
Trent Williams, he may be the best player in that team. He may be the best offensive lineman in the National Football League in a game that figures to be a physical, bruising, pounded out kind of a game. That feels like an enormous factor. Look, I feel like we've been kind of dancing around this all week long. Bad matchup, always scary, or upset alert. Are the Cowboys getting bounced in the first round of these playoffs, Ninko?
Yep.
Yes, they are.
Yes, they are. And I say that because I think the 49ers, they are a bad matchup. They can run the ball. Trent Williams, listen, I played against Trent Williams. You know, one time I was going against him, he kept telling me, nope, nope, nope. And I kept saying to myself, he's blocking me, yes. He's blocking me. And I'm not going anywhere. Yes, you're right. No, I am not going to make the play. So Trent, yes, very good football player. Very physical, very fast, athletic, great hands, great feet, very tough tackle to play against. But anyway, back to the 49ers. I think Kittle is going to have a big, big game in the running game. We all know about him catching the ball and being the receiver that he is. But if he can go out there and they can run the football with success and that zone is going and nobody can stop that running game, guess what? Cowboys, man, Stephen A. is going to have a fun time after this weekend. Boy.
Did you say – he was just blocking. He just kept saying nope.
Yep. Nope. He kept saying – I was pass rushing. He had me locked up. He kept going, nope, that guy. nope. And I was like, dang.
He's unbelievable. I remember covering a game in Washington once, and he came out in like an ice pack here, and he was questionable going into the game. He had another ice pack on his leg. He can barely – look like Frankenstein's monster. I said, you know, how did it hold up through the game? And he looked at me and went, they get any sacks? I said, no. He's pretty good then.
He's very good.
Like he's tough.
It's a big factor against that. What do you think, RC? I mean, we've been going all the way back to Monday when you were in here. We've been kind of dancing around it. Cowboys in trouble?
I mean, it depends on what you think trouble is. I'm not picking the San Francisco 49ers to win, but I also wouldn't be surprised if they do. The San Francisco 49ers are the scariest team in the NFC. I didn't say the most dangerous. I didn't say the most talented. They're the scariest because they're the most self-aware. The San Francisco 49ers know who they are. They're not trying to dress themselves up. They're not putting on makeup. They're not getting their hair done. They come in with sweatpants on, their hair tied, chilling with no makeup on, and they come in right after you. This is a team that's built on physicality, and you mentioned Trent Williams. Trent Williams was my teammate late in my career in Washington. He's in the category of a talent level of an athlete with only two other people I remember playing with, and that's Sean Taylor and that's Troy Polamalu. Trent Williams, when we used to hoop, he was the dude that played point guard, and he had the DBs trying to get under the rim and get rebounds. And so when you can have that type of talent, when you can have someone that can get to the second level and actually get to a guy like Michael Parsons when you're running sideline to sideline, I think those things are huge. And also you have the physicality they have on both sides of the line of scrimmage. But I believe the Dallas Cowboys stars will be the difference in that game. And now maybe it's because I was hanging out with the playmaker and Michael Parsons yesterday. Maybe I'm a little jaded about what the Dallas Cowboys can be. But I believe they understand the challenge that is in front of them. They understand the importance of this game, not only as it pertains to 2021 and 2022, but to the last quarter century. And I think their stars make enough plays to just edge out a very game, very physical San Francisco 49er team.
What do you think, Satch?
Well, first, I got to address RC's comment. He said, sweatpants, hair tied, chilling with no makeup on. That's the Drake song, right? But after that, he said, that's it when is. You're the prettiest. I hope that you don't take it wrong. And so I get it. Like, the San Francisco 49ers are going to be that team. Yeah, that's what you said. That's when they're the prettiest. Hope they don't take it wrong. But I will say this. Trent Williams, whether you got sweatpants, hair tie, no matter what, he is a monster. Nick, I played against him as well. My dogs on the outside linebackers. A lot of us at that time were like, hey, let's just go to the other side. That's how good he is. I don't want to go against this guy. And so he is the X factor. That's why I think San Francisco's going to win the game, because of their physical mentality. Trent Williams defines that team. Deebo Samuel defines that team. George Kittle defines that team. These guys are physical. They are relentless. They are tough. That is this team's identity. And also, their defense has that same kind of mentality as well. Guys like Nick Bosa getting after the quarterback. Arik Armstead getting after the quarterback. And so for me, I think it's going to be a great game. And like RC said, maybe the Cowboys win it, maybe they don't. But San Francisco is poised and primed to get a victory.
Look, the 49ers were the one seed a couple of years ago, and still people weren't picking them. They made it to the Super Bowl. Yeah. I remember that year a lot of people liked a lot of other teams, and they wound up the last one standing. They go in as a wild card this year. Maybe they have a chance. We'll get more wins we got. Got to run. We've got all these games to get to all morning long. Coming up, Coldplay and Bitter Buffalo. Can Bill and the Pats freeze out Josh Allen in round three? We will ask this former Patriot what he expects in just a moment. Plus, will it be Big Ben's last dance? Does Pittsburgh have any chance against Mr. Mahomes and the Chiefs? We'll ask a former Steeler. We are loaded up. It's a Football Friday edition of Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on an Overreaction Friday here, a Football Friday Get Up on ESPN. But overreactions always come from our man, Dan Graziano. I'll say something that I feel like people are saying. You tell me if it's an overreaction. We just talked about this. If I were to say Trent Williams is the most important player in the game, San Francisco, Dallas, Sunday, would that be an overreaction?
It's not. I mean, just listen to the stories of the guys who've played, with him and played against him. This is a guy who's not satisfied just blocking only one person on a given play. He wants to get to the second level and take out the linebacker. Didn't need to there. Obviously, they're at the goal line. But, yes, very important player for the 49ers. Obviously, it helps them establish everything they want to do on offense.
Yeah, we're just watching that. That's like Jeff Saturday's dream, right? That's just pancakes galore.
This is what Saturday watched, like on a Friday night. Like, he sits there and just watches this.
He called him the MVP of the league. All right, next. And I believe this is your game tomorrow in Cincinnati.
Yes.
If someone were to say the Bengals can make the Super Bowl, would that be an overreaction?
I don't think it is. Well, we just saw them beat the Chiefs a couple of weeks ago to clinch their division. I mean, look, they're young. You can make the case that it's early for them, that they've sort of arrived too soon. And yes, they've lost some games, right? They lost to the Jets. They lost to the Bears. They lost some games they shouldn't have. But they're capable of playing with anyone. And more importantly, I think, they really believe that. Joe Burrow believes that about himself. And as a result, his team believes it as well.
As Jalen Rose once sang on this show, they may be young, but they're ready. I didn't sing it because he and I are the two worst singers in the world. Let me give you one more. The Freezer Bowl tomorrow night in Buffalo. If I said the Patriots can beat the Bills by running the ball and doing nothing else, would that be an overreaction?
I think it's an overreaction. I think it was true that one night in the wind, but even then the game was close. There was one play, right, where they run for 64 yards and a touchdown. Otherwise, the Bills felt like they had them pretty well contained. Look, they ran for 222 that night. It's not a joke. But they only threw it three times.
Right.
And then when they met again 3 weeks later in more reasonable weather in Foxborough, Buffalo was clearly the better team and the more explosive offense.
Yeah, the wind that night on that Monday night was really the bigger factor than the cold.
Yes.
There's going to be some wind tomorrow night, but mostly it's going to be cold. Bundle up if you're going to be at Patriots-Bills on Saturday night. The low temperature is going to be 2 degrees, wind gusting 13 miles an hour, so it's going to feel like it's below zero at kickoff. And, you know, we know that our man Ninko, who is remains very close with the Patriot organization. My first question to you today was, are you going to the game tomorrow night?
I was going to go to the game. I was going to take my wife, but she said no. She said, why don't we just cheer on the Patriots and hope to go to Nashville that next weekend? So, Paige, I love you. Anyway, we're not going to Buffalo. We were going to, but it's -5 degrees. I really don't feel like having 10 layers on and freezing. So okay. I'll watch it from the comforts of my home.
You mean your wife doesn't feel like it. I understand completely.
Don't get mad
at him. Yeah. I goaded him into saying it.
He did it.
I refuse. I'm consumed by these cold weather. By the way, I'm not going either. I wouldn't go to that game if my life depended on it. I'm obsessed with these cold weather games. And I think fans are. I think fans just find it fascinating. I cannot accept that the weather's not going to have some impact on this game. So, Sacha, what impact does it have? Who does it affect the most?
I think, if anything, it'll affect the mentality of the teams. But both teams play in cold weather. Yes, it'll have an impact on the game, but it won't be the deciding factor. The deciding factor, Greeny, in this game will be Josh Allen and his explosiveness, right? We understand that the Patriots are going to run the ball. They're not going to put the ball in Mac Jones' hands. We saw a couple weeks ago a pick for Mac Jones, pick six. He hasn't been playing as well, whereas Josh Allen, the Bills offense, they're creative enough. If they need to run the ball, they can. But if you need a hero play, a huge play, a game-winning play, Josh Allen has the ability to make that play. And weather will not define that, nor will it deter that. Why? Because he's not just passing the ball. He's doing it with his legs as well. That play right there was a game-winning play. Fourth down, you need it most. And so that, for me, is the difference. Not the weather, the player. And that player will be Josh Allen.
Now, let's talk about another player, RC, because we talked about it in our meeting this morning before we came on. It might have an impact on another critical player in this game.
Well, I think the player that has an impact on me is Mac Jones. Right. And when you look at Josh McDaniels and his play calling, when you go back to that windy game on Monday night, you start to wonder, okay, what was the difference in the way that they saw Mac Jones as opposed to the Buffalo Bills seeing Josh Allen? And I do think it's an arm talent. Our colleague Rex Ryan talks about it every Monday when he's saying that Mac Jones isn't Tom Brady. He's always talking about a pea shooter, and he says it as a joke. But if you look at Mac Jones's QBR as the weather turned cold in December, and when you take out the Jacksonville Jaguars game, he's near or at the bottom of the entire NFL. And so I think what Josh McDaniels sees his ability or how he sees his ability to throw the football in this weather, to push the football down the field, to try to stretch the Buffalo Bills is extremely important, because I believe the Buffalo Bills will allow Josh Allen to be Josh Allen, allow him to be explosive, use him in the run game, push the football down the field when they came. Now, he hasn't been great in Buffalo against the New England Patriots. He's had his better games on the road. But when you look at who these teams are and who they can be when they're at their best, I don't know if the New England Patriots can be at their best offensively with Mac Jones in this type of inclement weather.
You see those numbers there. He's 40th out of 41 quarterbacks over the last 15 years in freezing games. The only one behind him is Tim Tebow. So the cold weather, while he's a big guy from Wyoming, you would think he would enjoy that weather. It has not worked well for him in the past. We want to give you two things to watch, two things to keep a close eye on, because when we were talking this morning, you said there's offense, there's defense, and what else plays a huge role in the cold?
The first thing that is affected with wind and cold temperatures is the kicking game. So field goals, kickoff, punt, like, and that's field position. So if you look at the field position and where your starting possessions are at, if you have a poor punting performance and you're not able to turn the field over, well, then that's when the running game comes into effect and ball control and all those things that the weather can affect. So the kicking game is number one. The attempts, if they're going to attempt field goals, I mean, you look at the first matchup that affected everything that both teams were trying to do. So in this particular matchup, yes, the cold is going to affect both teams, but it's going to be the mentally tough team that can overcome those things. And Josh Allen has stated that there is a track record of us playing better in warmer games and not playing well in cold games. So it's going to come down to who can be the more mentally tough football team.
The other thing to watch, Dan Graziano, you were in Buffalo for their game last week, and you gave us a very important note to keep an eye on.
It was windy, and the wind was going one specific direction all game, and there were 37 points scored in that game, and 34 of them were scored in the direction with the wind behind it. So, and when the Bills were going into the wind, Allen looked a lot worse. And so I think that's the key, is how windy is it going to be? The cold is, I mean, they'll manage the cold. It's the same for both teams. But if it ends up being, you know, super windy and the passing games are involved, then we've seen that game before, and that played into the Patriots'
hand. You see it up there. A wind gust up to 13 miles an hour. That's not enormous, but it's not nothing.
I would have liked that on Sunday. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, Graziano, he's lucky he didn't draw that game. All right, coming up, we got more games to get to, including Big Ben the underdog. Will his sarcastic speech actually work? Can the Steelers shock the world? There's at least one person here who thinks they've got a real chance. Plus, will it be one and done for Carson Wentz in Indy? Wait till you hear what their GM had to say about the quarterback. You're going to hear it next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
It's the biggest playoff football weekend in NFL history, culminating with a Monday night matchup on ESPN. Who dominated? Who disappointed? And who opened eyes? We'll have all the drama and fallout on Get Up, Monday and Tuesday morning, 8 Eastern, on ESPN. It's going to be fun on this Football Friday. Let's play more or less the wild card edition. Ninko, Mac Jones, 29 and a half pass attempts in the cold Saturday night? More or less?
I'm going with less. The first time that they had this in cold weather, he only threw the ball three times. Let's times that by nine and say that he's going to be under
27.
He'll have more than three. Let's just put it that way, but he'll have less than 30.
But you think as many as 27?
Yeah, it could be 27, yeah.
Okay, that'd be interesting. RC, let's go to Jamar Chase, your LSU guy. More or less 68.5 receiving yards against the Raiders.
Are we making jokes today, Greeny? Are we asking questions that we already know the answer to? It's going to be more for Jamar Chase. That's like one play for Jamar Chase. In order for this team to win, he's going to have to be explosive. And we know that Joe Burrow is going to be looking for his go-to wide receiver. I expect Jamar to have more.
Okay, fair enough. And then, Sacho, let's go to Kansas City. More or less, Ben Roethlisberger, 1.5 passing touchdowns against the Chiefs.
More. Ben Roethlisberger is on his last dance. He's willing his team to victory, and I think he's going to be able to find a way to get more than 1.5, i.e. 2, maybe even 3, passing touchdowns against Kansas City. Last week, Kansas City slipped up a little bit defensively. We've seen them kind of get off that trend ever since that loss they had to the Bengals. So I am going with more.
I like it. And maybe, just maybe, with Juju Schuster, Smith-Schuster out there to help him. You've heard it already, but in case you didn't, this was Big Ben talking about his team's mentality as an underdog against Kansas City.
I would assume as a group you understand that, you know, we probably aren't supposed to be here. We're probably not a very good football team. We're the, out of 14 teams I think are in, we're probably number 14. Probably 20-point underdogs, and we're going to the number one team that's, I know they're not the number one seed, but they're the number one team that's won the AFC the last 2 years. Arguably the best team in football. We don't have a chance. So let's just go in and play and have fun.
Okay. So we like the take. Look, I was going to start with that, but I have to start with that face. When you hear your old teammate Ben saying that, what do you think, RC?
I think it's sarcastic, yet true. And so that's what makes it funny to me. You know what I mean? Like, he's saying all those things, and obviously it's a little tongue-in-cheek, and he's being sarcastic, and he's kind of, like, taking shots at some of the noise you hear from outside of the locker room about the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Kansas City Chiefs. But it's kind of true. Like, they probably are, in our opinion, like, the 14th of the 14th. They are, in our opinion, the team that shouldn't have been there. There's probably a lot of people who want to see very good quarterback play and very good football played that would have hoped that the Las Vegas Raiders would have just kneeled the ball and not kicked the field goal. I'm okay with that. So what Ben is saying is all of these things are happening, so let's just go have fun. Let's just go play as hard as we possibly can. Let's make this as difficult on the Kansas City Chiefs as we can. And if we look up in the fourth quarter and we have a chance, we'll try to win the football game. But we know, y'all know, everybody knows we ain't really supposed to be here, so we playing with house money anyway.
That's the point. And we touched on this earlier, Ninko, talking about another game. But this was really where the conversation began. You've been on that side. You've been the big favorite, the team everyone says, oh, there's no way they lose this game. And sometimes those are funny, tricky kind of situations.
Yeah, and I'll relate that to in boxing. They say somebody has a puncher's chance.
Right.
Well, in football, every team has the opportunity. They have a chance, and it has to be the right situation. The other team has to play down, and they're not playing to the level that everyone expects them to
play. So how does it happen here? Chiefs start slow?
Chiefs start slow, which they have. We've seen the Chiefs start slow, a couple turnovers, Patrick Mahomes throwing more interceptions than we've seen in his career, basically, mm-hmm. in this one season. So if you're the Steelers, just like RC saying, like, what do we got to lose? Like, nobody thinks we're going to win this game. Let's go out here and just have fun. Let's fly around. Let's make plays. Let's make them beat us. And let's go out here, last hurrah for Big Ben. Throw the ball around the football field. Juju's back. Let's go have fun. Let's see what we can do, make some noise.
And Dan, you made that point in the meeting that, like, it's weird to say with a playoff game, but there is basically no consequence to the outcome for the Steelers, right? The
Steelers have absolutely nothing to lose but the game. That, I mean, that's it. Like, Ben Roethlisberger is going to retire. The coach is not on the hot seat. I mean, their offseason is going to be exactly the same whether they win this game or lose this game or if they hadn't made the playoffs at all. So this is house money. This is extra time for Ben Roethlisberger on his career. I mean, they're dangerous because they have nothing to lose. The Chiefs are much better. They beat them by 26 points 3 weeks ago.
Gross.
But, yeah, I mean, like, it's I think Gross. It would be fun to be the Steelers this week. I think I would enjoy, and I think Ben Roethlisberger is enjoying it.
Go ahead, RC.
No?
Here's what I love about what Here's what I love about what Graz just said. The Steelers are dangerous because they're not dangerous.
That was exactly. Weird stuff happens, man.
I mean, they're dangerous. I'm going to make their case.
I'm not picking them.
They're dangerous.
The Colts think Jacksonville was going to be.
That's given Sunday. All of that holds. And the bottom line of it is this. You've got a team with nothing to lose, as you just said, house money, look, all that, look up in the fourth quarter. And, oh, by the way, they have a Hall of Fame quarterback and a Hall of Fame coach. Like, they kind of know how to handle this stuff.
22 and a half sacks coming off the edge. I mean, like, it's not like they got nothing.
Game changer.
I'll say this. Do I expect the Steelers to win the game? No, of course not. I don't think anyone realistically expects them to win the game. But would it be the biggest surprise, the biggest upset that we've seen in postseason or recent memory? Absolutely not. Far stranger things than this have happened in recent years. Ben Roethlisberger and Mike Tomlin finding a way to win a football game in Kansas City?
It's been 5 years since the Steelers won a playoff game. But it was in Kansas City when they did it. So who knows?
Look, this is a matchup that used to be sort of skewed towards them. Go ahead, RC, final word.
No, I'm just listening to Graz continue to be a curmudgeon after Ben Roethlisberger gave us the great setup to have a good time. Listen, I will say this about the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, Nick mentioned a puncher's chance, and I believe they do have a puncher's chance because they're a team that's going to play hard defensively, and if they can get some of these turnovers, score points defensively, give some short fields, and give Big Ben an opportunity to be great late. What we've seen from him is, yes, he's not the same Big Ben Roethlisberger. He's not the same Hall of Fame quarterback we've seen before. But when he's needed to be great late in some of these important games, he's been able to do it. And I think if they can get him there, the rest of the team, then Big Ben can get him over the hump.
Are you picking him?
No.
Nobody is. That's the point. I'm not trying to say that if I'm not getting points in this game, I'm taking the Steelers. I'm just saying far stranger things have happened. For example, last weekend, Indianapolis went to Jacksonville, and all they needed to do was beat the worst team in the NFL, and they couldn't do it. They got upset, and that knocked them out of the playoffs. Their quarterback, Carson Wentz, had two turnovers in the game. Yesterday, did you hear this? This is the Colts general manager, Chris Ballard, talking about the future of his quarterback.
When we made the decision, after Philip retired, and we made the decision to make a move on Carson, at the time of the decision, we felt good about it. And I still don't regret the decision at the time. I won't make a comment on who's going to be here next year and who's not going to be here.
Wow. I mean, that is... That's pretty strong, right? I mean, for the general manager of a team to come out and basically say it seemed like a good decision at the time.
Yeah. Chris Ballard's a pretty honest and straightforward guy, especially as general managers go.
Yeah.
But he's also angry. I mean, you could tell it's 3 days after, 4 days after their season ended, and they didn't expect it to. So that's part of it. But, yeah, I mean, I think he's given it to us straight.
So, Sacho, let me ask you the question this way. Let me ask it this way. It's an enormous disappointment. The Colts just needed one win in their last two games against the Raiders and then against, again, the lowly Jaguars, and they couldn't get it. So they are an enormous disappointment. Of that, there is no doubt. Is it fair for the entire world to put the blame for this on the quarterback?
No, the answer is no. It's not fair for the entire world, for fans, for media, to put the entire blame on Carson Wentz, but it is fair for Chris Ballard to do it. I hadn't seen that sound until just now. And you could feel his anger and frustration. So I get it. Your quarterback needs to win you games. But also, if we watch that game, which I know all of us did, we saw a defense that wasn't doing what it did all season, which is forcing turnovers. We saw an offensive line that wasn't doing what it did all season, which was creating big holes and seams for Jonathan Taylor to run. He only had 77 rushing yards, and much of that came in the second half. We saw a Jacksonville Jaguars team that seemed more dedicated and determined to win, not just at quarterback. Right, Trevor Lawrence outplayed Carson Wentz, but also all along the offensive and defensive lines. And so, no, it is not fair to put all of this on Carson Wentz. Everyone else has to play better. But at the end of the day, quarterback got to get it done for you. And Chris Ballard obviously sees that he didn't.
That's right. And RC, you had an interesting take on this when we talked about it this morning. The one way that it is reasonable to blame Wentz.
Yeah, it's reasonable to blame Wentz because this is what Carson Wentz was brought there to be. Carson Wentz was brought there to win games like this, when the defense doesn't play as great as it's played all year, when the offensive line doesn't block and Jonathan Taylor doesn't have one of those huge days. This is a team we've been saying that's a quarterback away since Andrew Luck retired, and Carson Wentz was supposed to be that guy. I think that's why it sounds like Chris Ballard's interview was switched with Dr. Dre's interview right before he had to get that settlement to his now ex-wife. He was like, you know what? At the time, it seemed really smart to have a lock, not have a locked and clad prenup, but right now, looking back on it, it probably wasn't the best decision. That's how Chris Ballard felt. And so when you look at what this team was, what this team had done throughout the season, and the fact they only had to win one of their last two games, that Carson Wentz plays bad against the Raiders, and then he can't get you over the hump against the worst team in football, that is an issue, and you can see that frustration in Chris Ballard.
I only have a second, but should we expect Wentz to be their quarterback next year?
I think I'm expecting the Colts to at least survey the landscape and see if they can upgrade.
That's good. It'd be interesting to see. I mean, we said coming into the season there was a lot of pressure on him. Obviously, that couldn't have gone more wrong. By the way, we got great basketball coming your way tonight on ESPN. We got the Warriors visiting Chicago tonight, 7:30 Eastern. Two of the best teams in the NBA going head-to-head. That's our early game tonight. Then we got Luka and the red-hot Mavs taking on Ja Morant and the even hotter Grizzlies. That's a matchup of two of the best young superstars in the NBA. We'll start your night with NBA Countdown 7 Eastern right here on ESPN and the ESPN app. Coming up, Joe Burrow lit up the NFL this season. Is he about to torch the Raiders in his first ever playoff game? We've got predictions as we roll on. Get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Lift every voice and sing.
When I think about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s life, I think about the lessons that you can learn from his lifetime and all the amazing things that he did to help change a generation, help change the world. And what he stood for was equality and giving everybody a fair chance.
Till victory is won.
Back on Get Up ahead of the biggest wild card weekend in NFL history. Let's play either or with some of these matchups. Nico, who's going to have a bigger game, Micah Parsons or George Kittle?
I'm going with Kittle on this one. I love Micah Parsons and everything that he has done this season. He has by far exceeded everyone's expectations of him playing outside linebacker and inside linebacker. But George Kittle and his ability to change the game in the passing game and in the running game, he is going to be a huge part to this game and the 49ers game plan. Passing the ball, running the ball, I'm going with Kittle, and he's a beast. He's now the best tight end in the league right now.
Nink already took San Francisco to win it. Graz, Josh Allen or the Patriots defense? Who you got?
I got Josh Allen. I think he just has the capability of making sort of any play they need at any time. And, yes, he has the capability of making a play that hurts them, but we've seen more of the former than the latter, and we saw it against the Patriots a few weeks ago in Foxborough. I think this is a Buffalo team that believes itself to be better than the Patriots and is determined to show people.
RC, the quarterback matchup tomorrow, Derek Carr or Joe Burrow, who you got?
This is another situation, Greeny, where the producers did not give me an opportunity to answer this question before the show. But the answer is Joe Burrow. Yo, guys, you guys already had it right. And listen, Derek Carr has been amazing this year. I think he's been the best leader in football. But Joe Burrow played like an MVP down the stretch of this season. He got better as the season went along, as he got healthier and more comfortable with his skill players. I expect a top-notch game out of him, and he outplays Derek Carr.
Yeah, and look, I mean, I'm not sure. We gave you the Ja'Marr Chase one and the Joe Burrow. All the LSU questions went to Ryan Clark today, which is almost too easy. Let me ask a serious question here, though, RC, because this is Burrow's first playoff game. I was making the point earlier in the week that this is a guy who went into Bryant-Denny Stadium and beat Alabama. This is a guy who played in the college football national championship game. So are all big games the same, or is there something different about an NFL postseason game, even after the huge games he's played in college?
No, all big games aren't the same. They aren't all weighed the same. Like, I think Joe Burrow, this is a step up in speed. This is a step up in competition. This is a step up in importance. But I also believe that he's built for it, not just simply because of the games he played in 2019 at LSU. This isn't a guy that's had everything handed to him. This isn't one of those five-star silver plate kids. This is a dude that had to transfer from Ohio State, that didn't have a great year as a junior, that had to ascend to be the number one overall pick, and that now has played through injury to get himself back to this position. So I think it's Joe Burrow's intangibles that are going to be great for this situation, not necessarily that he's already played in big games. I think he'll adjust, he'll understand the speed, understand the moment, and play well once he settles in.
All right, let's pick it. We're going to pick all the games as we go through here this morning. Graz, we'll start with you. Who do you like, Raiders, Bengals, tomorrow?
I like the Bengals. I think they're going to be able to run the ball. The Raiders have a hole in the middle of their defensive line with Darius Filon, the great defensive tackle, is now hurt. I think they're going to run Joe Mixon up the middle and then free up enough to make those plays on the outside with those big receivers.
Ninko, who you got?
Yeah, I'm going Bengals. And all the talk in the passing game, Joe Mixon is a beast at the running back position. So I'm going with Cincinnati. If their offensive line can protect Joe Burrow, watch out, because they're a dangerous team.
RC, how do you feel about LSU North this weekend? They going to win tomorrow?
Hey, I'm going with LSU North, Greeny. I like that. I'm going with Joe Burrow and the Cincinnati Bengals. I think they're the better team. What the Las Vegas Raiders have done throughout the season has been amazing, but I believe the journey ends here.
Me too. Look, I mean, I hate it when we have this, what's about to happen on our screen.
Always dangerous.
When someone takes a screenshot of this thing, when it goes the other way, which tends to happen a lot. But it is a clean sweep. We all like Cincinnati tomorrow again. As the morning continues, we will pick every game on the weekend schedule ahead of the biggest NFL wildcard weekend that we've ever had. But right now, a major international developing story from Australia. In case you've not yet heard, tennis superstar Novak Djokovic once again faces deportation after the Australian government revoked his visa for the second time. This, of course, is 3 days before the Australian Open. The first major of the year is set to begin. Australia's immigration minister says the unvaccinated Djokovic may pose a risk to the community. Now, his lawyers have already asked a court to block the deportation, which they successfully did after his visa was canceled the first time around. So if you've not been paying attention to this, it has gone back and forth and back and forth. He's been in limbo. And again, this is a player who has won this event 9 times in the past. And so here's Patrick McEnroe, who leads our tennis coverage for us. Patrick, what should the fans know about this? What is the reaction to what's going on right now in Melbourne?
Well, first of all, Greeny, just for the record, I got the Raiders, okay? So put my name up there on the ground with all your football experts, okay? But when it comes to this story, okay, this is political dynamite, Mike, down in Australia from the moment that Novak Djokovic got on the plane to go try to win his record 21st major. Of course, he's tied with Nadal and Federer, and we've all been assuming that he's going to end up as the greatest player of all time. Now, remember, he's won the Australian Open 9 times. This has gone back and forth. Unfortunately for Novak, you can think what you want to think about the way he's handled it. He's made some mistakes. Clearly, he's made the decision not to be vaccinated. All those things have factored into this decision. But at the end of the day, this is about public opinion and about politics in Australia. And Novak Djokovic has become a political pawn down under.
Let's talk about what, if anything, this does to his legacy. Because you mentioned it, he's much younger than Federer, and he's younger than Nadal as well. So, yes, the overwhelming likelihood is that he will, when he retires, he will have won the most slams of any player of all time. But certainly, he's not nearly as beloved internationally as those players are, as revered as those players are. And now he has this. So how do you expect this, ultimately, to impact his legacy?
Well, I don't think it's going to affect his legacy as a tennis player, right? As you said, he's got the numbers to back it up. I sort of think of it in the same way we think about Aaron Rodgers. You know, if he leads the Packers to the Super Bowl, of course, that's going to be great for his legacy as a football player. But what he's done along the way, it certainly affects the way people think of him generally. And so, same with Kyrie Irving. If the Brooklyn Nets win the NBA title, we'll think of him as affecting what they were able to do on the court. But off the court, it's similar for Novak Djokovic. He's going to still, in my opinion, go down as the greatest player of all time when this is all said and done. But his legacy is clearly being tainted by the way he's handling it, by some of the stances he's taken publicly. And I think the big question, Mike, moving forward is, does he play in Australia? So that's still on the table. And then what happens throughout the course of the rest of the tennis season? Because the rules are changing in other countries around the world, including our own in the United States.
Right, yeah, a few months from Paris and then Wimbledon and then here. Super quickly, like inside the tennis world, are people on his side or not? Generally speaking, does he have the support of the people inside the sport?
It's gone back and forth over the course of the last week. I would say the tide is turning against him right now. You heard from Stefano Tsitsipas yesterday saying they've had enough of Djokovic playing by his own rules. Rafael Nadal, I think, put it as well as anyone, Mike, early on in this debate. Novak made the choice not to be vaccinated. He knew what the rules were going to be in Australia. He tried to get the exemption. He tried to game the system a little bit. And it's nipped them in the butt in a big way. I think the players have had enough.
Okay, that's Patrick McEnroe. Again, our coverage will begin on Monday of the Australian Open, and we'll see whether or not the number one player in the world is there. Patrick, thanks a million for getting up with us here. And that's just a piece of our January sports calendar, which rolls on Sunday. We got the Spanish Super Cup final. We got the Aussie Open. Then next week, we have our first ever Monday night wild card playoff game, Cardinals and Rams. And then Saturday night, we got UFC 270. A little bit of everything this month on ESPN, ESPN2, ABC, ESPN Deportes, and ESPN Plus. Coming up, one member of our crew spent a bunch of time talking to Micah Parsons yesterday and can tell you exactly why he figures to be a huge factor Sunday afternoon. Don't miss that. Next.